Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Is the race for governor of Massachusetts at risk of becoming a two-man contest? Democrat-turned-independent Timothy Cahill has been the target of negative ads from the Republican Governors Association and has fallen off in recent polling, behind the incumbent Democrat Deval Patrick and the Republican challenger Charlie Baker. Now Cahill is out with new radio and TV ads himself to jumpstart his campaign. Here is a sample.
First commercial of the governor's race. Washington insiders attacked me while I was working for you. It's just politics as usual. One of my opponents fights for big government. The other, a health insurance executive. They're for them. I'm for you.
Can Cahill make up the ground he's lost in this race, partially using that ad? To try and answer that question, we're joined this morning by our political analyst, Democrat Dan Payne. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
And Republican Todd Domke. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Bob.
So let me start by asking, are the ads any good? Are they effective, Dan?
Well, strategically, I think Cahill is off. He's obsessed with being an independent. But he doesn't explain what his independentness is worth to the voter. He's having a hard time because he's been treasurer for 7 years, and before that he was a city councilor and a county treasurer. He's been in government continuously since 1987, so it's hard to run as an anti-government independent when you've been in government about three-quarters of your adult life. But as for the commercial itself, he's doing a bad imitation of Scott Brown. His delivery makes him look whiny and defensive. And he offers no corroboration for his claims in the commercials. Usually candidates put a newspaper clipping or an excerpt from a report. You know, what's his citation? Where did this number come from?
Todd Domke.
Well, it does look like more thought was put into him about his decision to go on the air than went into actually creating the ad, because there's nothing in there that people will talk about. There's no clear message. Dan's right that he made the mistake of trying to emulate Scott Brown without really understanding what worked for Brown. Unlike Brown, Cahill didn't first run ads that established his credibility, his persona, his connection with regular people. Instead, his introduction is, as Dan said, whining. You know, well, to voters suffering in this economy, worried about state spending and other big issues, they're not in a mood to feel sorry for politicians.
Let me ask about the timing. With the heat this week, it certainly feels like we're in the thick of the summer now. Are people at this time paying any attention to this race? Is this the right time or the wrong time to run any ads, whether they're effective or not?
Well, it's not a good time. I mean, people are tuned out during the summer, and especially during a heat wave. They're just not that interested in what Tim Cahill has to say. And you wonder why, you know, he's doing it now. In a way, it's early on the political calendar, you know, 120 days until the election. But for him, it's late in the game. As an independent, he should have already established what his candidacy is all about in the public mind. Instead, he's running a reactive spot. He talks about the negative ads. Cahill's problem now is he can't convince people that he is a genuine independent because, indeed, he has been part of the system as a career politician.
Yeah, he's going to have to spend millions to get back into the race. I mean, he's sitting at 9 points now, which is pretty far down the ladder. 1 week of TV in Boston costs about $300,000.
Can I ask about the political math here, Dan? What would a campaign expect a week's worth of $300,000 ads to get them in terms of points at polls?
I'd say if it's a heavy buy and you've run it for a week or 10 days, which is the customary flight it's called, you could probably show a gain of a couple of points. And if it's an exceptional commercial, you might get more than that. But this is not exceptional. It's not terribly memorable. So I have a feeling that he's not going to get much of a bump out of this at all.
So when we spoke a month ago, you said you expected that this race, the gubernatorial race, would end up a two-person race, a two-man race. Is that what we're seeing, Baker and Deval Patrick?
Well, that's the way the race is trending. Baker's closed the gap, and he's now only about 6 or 7 points behind Deval Patrick. We've got 17 weeks to go, 18 weeks maybe, and a lot can and will change. Deval Patrick wants it to be a three-way race, so he can divide up the anti-Patrick vote. Baker wants a two-way race, so he becomes the alternative. And Tim Cahill obviously wants it to be a one-man race, because that's the only way he can win this thing at this point.
Todd.
Well, Cahill has become questionable even as a spoiler. So increasingly, it seems he has to justify why we should be paying so much attention to him, as opposed to the fourth party candidate, Jill Stein, the Green Rainbow Party candidate. She's also in single digits. But at some point, he has to decide, you know, with no real chance to win, what is his motivation? What is he trying to do? Is he trying to be the kingmaker and decide that one of the other candidates wins? Because right now, he has not become plausible as an alternative.
Dan. He needs to do something dramatic and daring, and I think he should declare himself the Tea Party candidate. They're not really a party. He can attach himself to it. It would give him a little cachet. It would make people tune in again to see what he's about. And his views seem to align with those of the Tea Party membership, at least as we can understand them. They're anti-government, and he seems to be running a campaign that's anti-government. Now, the Globe poll showed that only 25% of the state was favorably disposed to the Tea Party. But 25 points is a lot more points than 9 points, which is where Tim Cahill is today.
And 25 points might be his ceiling at this point, given what's happened. Deval Patrick has a 40% base reliably. Charlie Baker has a 35% reliable base. That would leave 25% that would vote for an independent, a protest candidate. Now, that doesn't mean that Deval can't go higher. It doesn't mean Charlie Baker can't go higher. But at this point, it doesn't look like Tim Cahill can go higher than the 25%.
And do either of you think that Cahill might drop out of this race?
No. He'll stay to the end. He may change his mind at the last minute if he feels like he's being personally attacked by one or the other of the candidates. It may change, but he'll stay the course.
It's hard to get into his mind, especially when you're projecting ahead of what he might be thinking if it looks clear that he is a sure loser. He might be tempted to then bow out graciously and endorse someone and hope, as I said, to become a kingmaker in that way to preserve some political clout. But right now, he's probably saying, okay, we'll try this advertising route, we'll try to make a comeback, and if it doesn't work, I'll think about that later.
Okay, thanks to both of you, Republican Todd Domke.
Good to be with you.
And Democrat Dan Payne.
Nice to be here.